Thanks, Shane. Brendan Courtney here in for Ray.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Happy Wednesday. Hello, how are you today? Still here for the week. I'm here till Friday. I must tell you, I must be giving off some sort of weird pheromones the past week because, alarmingly, I have been attacked by a couple of beasts in the past week. Attempted attacks by some random animals. The first attack was by a donkey on Inishmore. The Donkeys of Inishmore. It could be a sequel. It could be a horror. I can just see the film students scribbling the script right now. Anyway, I was actually filming something in a field and two very curious, I thought pretty and friendly little donkeys plodded over and one of the blighters went to bite me and grab my jacket cuff. It did scare me a little bit. I thought donkeys were supposed to be friendly. And then where I live in the park, I've had a few issues with dogs going for me and the park on the street. So I've wondered, well, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm giving off some sort of weird, fearful scent. But slightly more seriously, I have noticed a little bit of a worrying trend in Dublin city centre where I live. And I'm sure it's across the country. I'm sure it's not just, this is just my anecdotal experience of living there. I see more and more people parading around with huge, dangerous designer dogs. And that's obviously, even though the phrase is a bit incendiary. I've lived in town probably 30 years on and off, and I have definitely noticed a massive increase in the number of huge dogs, in particular pit bulls. I love all dogs. Oh, it's never the dog is a problem, is it? It's normally the owner. But there's like one kid, I'm sure he's really nice. He bombs around on his bike with his hoodie up. And you know the kind of bike all the kids are on, the little electric ones with the tiny wheels. They look like some sort of circus contraption. Anyway, he bombs around with his enormous pit bull pulling him up the hill on his bike. I've never seen that. It's like a futuristic chariot. Not to mention the cost of these dogs. French bulldogs are very popular. I see them a lot. They're gorgeous. I absolutely love them. I love all dogs. But a neighbour of mine was telling me that they know somebody who purchased a French bulldog, high quality pedigree, for €5,000. And the father of that puppy was €40,000. So it could be said, only in some instances, obviously people love their dogs and it's not all the time, but are these more status symbols? Are they accessories? So I would say, if you're considering getting a dog, and this is just my opportunity to say, because I absolutely love dogs, maybe don't pay huge money for a puppy and please think about rescuing a dog first. Anybody who works with animals will tell you there's thousands and thousands and thousands of unwanted dogs that need homes. Linda Martin's Dog Sanctuary in North Dublin, My Lovely Horse Rescue in Cork and Limerick, ISPCA Dogs Trust, just Google it, you'll find a dog if you want to get one. That's just my little plea to think about rescuing the dog before you pay a fortune for them. Now we're going to be talking all things books later on. It's a very exciting 24 hours in the Irish book industry. Sarah Phelan from Chapters Bookstore on Parnell Street will be in, which reopened thankfully 1 year ago. We want to hear she's getting on. But also yesterday's a very exciting day. A record number of Irish authors have made it onto the Booker Prize long list. You're going to tell us all about that. I love a holiday book recommendation. In fact, before I went on holiday, I asked everybody who'd listen, give me some recommendations. So I'm currently finishing Mark O'Connell's A Thread of Violence, the book about the MacArthur double murder in 82. Some people remember. I don't remember it at all. I was too young. It's brilliant. Written. It's a really easy read. Jilly upstairs read it as well. Loved it, read it in a couple of days. I'm also listening to Richard Hogan's Home is Where the Start Is, a child psychologist's own story. Really quite upsetting and a brilliant read. And I'm just finishing Fintan O'Toole's We Don't Know Ourselves, a masterpiece. Absolutely. They're my little recommendations. My other little tip for holidays is get into listening to your books as well. And just bring two physical books with you, I would say. What's your favourite read and why? I would love to hear. Text 51551 and tell us. Also, Ray Darcy Show regulars, relationship experts, Alison Keaton and Keating, and Ray O'Neill will be in studio after 4 p.m. to answer all your queries and questions. As always, if you have a relationship problem that you're happy to share, you can email ray@rte.ie for some free expert advice. And just to say as well, of course, it will be anonymous. A gorgeous story in the paper today caught our eye. Irish woman, Johanna O'Connor, it's J-O-H-A-N-N-A, so it is Johanna O'Connor, who was flying the flag for Kerry, watching the All-Ireland final on Sunday, over in New York at the tender age of 100. The Irish Independent tells us that she is the wife of the late great Kerry footballer Tom O'Connor from Dingle. And around her neck in the photograph, she's wearing his first ever All-Ireland medal from 1937. How nice. Speaking of centenarians, that's people over 100, in case you didn't know, A production company called South Wind Blows are looking for men and women who were born in 1923 and who celebrate their 100th birthday this year to be part of a show called An Old Song Resung, which is taken from a W.B. Yeats poem, The Sally Gardens, just by the by. In October, RTE will stage a big live concert to commemorate the first 100 years of the Irish state from 1923 to 2023 and to mark Ireland's membership of the League of Nations. That reminds me of history of school. I can't remember why. This closes out RTE's decade of centenary programmes of events, documentaries and dramas. They did a great job really commemorating the period. It looks like the intention is to commend the contributions of these people that they've made to the state over such a long period of time. Basically an official thank you on behalf of all of us. An acknowledgement of the great changes they have seen in the country over the 100 years. So if you know someone who was born in 1923, fair play to you, and you know that they'd like to be represented on the night, please contact the producers. It's info@southwindblows.ie. info@southwindblows.ie. Now, I eventually got to watch the Wham doc. I heard the interview with Andrew Ridgely last week. I was gripped. I read Andrew Ridgely's biography. I'm a huge Wham fan, and I actually wanted to carve out an evening to sit with the documentary on Netflix. It's absolutely brilliant. If you are my age in and around and you liked Wham, you have no choice. It is your duty to watch this documentary. It's brilliant. Narrated by Andrew Ridgely, loads of Pepsi and Shirley, really nostalgic and warm. The songs just keep coming and coming and coming. And actually, I didn't realise that George wrote that. Well, I kind of remembered slightly from Andrew's biography, but it really gets driven home. He wrote Careless Whisper very early on in the band when Wham were literally just starting out. And I remember it was released, it was number one in 1984. I had my first ever birthday party. It was my 13th birthday and about 25 kids came and I got 9 copies of that single. 9 copies of Careless Whisper. I think I still have a couple knocking around. Anyway, suffice it, I got everything I wanted, but Niamh wouldn't play everything he wanted. She said it's too long a song. But let's just ignore the rain today and have a bit of Wham, Club Tropicana. Sorry, that is just the best song ever, isn't it? Forget about the rain. Just listen to that song and everything goes away. Some lovely texts in here agreeing with me about, you know, the how to adopt, don't shop on dogs. Well done, Brendan. Adopt, don't shop when it comes to puppies. I can't understand how people still pay for dogs when there are so many gorgeous doggies just wanting a home. We adopted our 8-year-old from Dogs Trust, who were just brilliant. Another little message about adopting dogs. We launched PetMatch.ie last year to exclusively work with rescues and provide a platform to assist with rehoming the pets in their care. If you could give us a shout out to help make people aware, it would be amazing. Yes, of course. So it's called PetMatch.ie. We're working with rescues like DSPCA, Lovely Horse, Husky Rescue and many others. Thanks very much, Lynn, the founder of PetMatch.ie. If you are looking for a pet, have a look. I've gone to many, many pet sanctuaries and I want to take them all home. So really and truly, if you are thinking about a dog, adopt, don't shop. Some great book recommendations in, and I have never read what I'm ashamed to say. Hi, Brendan. All the wonderful late Maeve Binchy's books are lovely to read or listen to on audiobooks. They're like getting a hug from a friend. Thanks, Grace in Galway. Great tip. Favourite books, another text, The Island of Missing Trees by Elif Shafak, Crow Lake by Mary Lawson, and Anne Griffith's latest book, The Island of Longing. We'll be hearing a lot more about book recommendations in a little while. But we do need 2 quizzers to join us after 4 o'clock to play our quiz, Who Done It? Now, you could win a beautiful prize if you play the game. This week we've teamed with iNUA's collection Dublin One Hotel to give one lucky listener the chance to win a 2-night mini break in the city with breakfast each morning and dinner on one of the evening in their vibrant botanical restaurants. Dublin One Hotel is stylish, central and good value. It's based on North Circular Road. It's great for exploring. Dublin City Centre has to offer coastal shopping areas, entertainments near where I live and everything. Check out their great summer offers at dublinonehotel.com. Now, you probably know how it works. You're going to have 3 questions. I give you the category. Then I ask if you want a clue. If you go for a clue and you get it right, you get 1 point. If you go without a clue and you get it right, you get 2 points. Whoever has the most points is the winner. If it goes to a draw, we have a tiebreak. Okay, so if you want to take part in a quiz after 4 o'clock, we just need you to qualify with this question. Today marks 20 years since the opening of which popular tech giant in Ireland? Is it Google or Doodle? Today marks 20 years since the opening of which popular tech giant in Ireland? Is it Google or Doodle? Call us now. 0818 715925. That's 0818 715925. To play the quiz after 4 o'clock. After the break, Ireland's comedy golden couple, Joanne McNally and Garold Farrelly, join us.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, my first guests today are what some people are calling, well, when I say some people, I say me.
Yeah.
Some people are calling them Ireland's golden comedy couple. Depending on your generation, they could be the Terry and June, hang on, the Lucille Ball and Danny Arnaz, Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell, or the Alison Brie and Dave Franco. I'd say you'll take that one of Ireland. Joanne McNally and Grode Farley, thank you so much for coming in. How are you?
We're really good. How are you?
Good, thanks a million.
Just we loved that intro.
Did you like that intro?
Yeah.
Of those lot that I shouted out, who would be your favourite? Probably Alison Brie and Dave Franco, right?
I don't know who they are.
Franco, the younger brother.
No.
The hotter one.
No clue.
Terry and June. I remember Terry and June.
Do you know who they are? I don't know who they are.
No,
I feel like we're a couple's therapy.
I don't know anybody.
I don't know anyone either.
I feel like a couple's therapy now. How is everybody doing? So, just to be clear, I know you both very well. You are a little bit younger than me, but I have stalked you both proficiently enough to make you friends of mine. So, thanks for coming in. Yeah,
thank
just
you.
In case you get too familiar and it's uncomfortable to listen to, I just want to clear that up. So, first of all, how long do you two know each other?
So, I know Grode. Well, about 7 or 8 years.
Okay. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, I was around the time of Singlehood. I was booked to support Singlehood.
You were booked to support Singlehood, which was the first show I was in, stage show I was in.
Okay.
As an adult.
In the Olympia? Acting?
In the Olympia. Well, I mean, it wasn't acting as such.
Okay.
It was telling stories about relationships.
Yeah.
Kind of monologues.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's how I ended up getting into stand-up, because... whatever, we won't, it was just, it doesn't matter. It was a whole thing about this bald lad. But then, Grode opened.
It's so difficult to skim over that. Joanne just throws in little frissons of information. But we won't.
But then, Grode supported. So we got to know each other then. But really, me and Grode only got properly close.
Okay.
During lockdown.
Okay. Yeah, because we had the same agent. And she was calling me going, Joanne's in an attic on her own. Which is just Zooms with her. Just.
But we were, do you know what? I think as well, because we were so worried about comedy, that our trauma brought us together. And then, I know it sounds lame, but we've been laughing ever since.
We have indeed, Joanne. Yeah, you've been laughing. Ever since. You've had a great time.
You definitely bring more to it than I do. Like, I'll hold my hands up and say, that's the truth.
So cute. But comedy, hospitality, drag, performance, theatre, the bombs fell. And there was a real worry that this ever going to come back? And actually, segue, you went off and did a master's, I just remember now.
Yeah, I did. I did, yeah. Because what originally I was going to be a postman.
She was going to be a postman.
Joanne was screaming down a Zoom at me about how, take the job as a postman. Go, just do something else, study, and then come back to stand up.
That was your lowest point during lockdown. No shade to postman, but when he rang me and told me he was leaving comedy to become a postman, I was like, get on the FaceTime there. I need to look you in the eyes. This needs a bit of eye contact.
10 o'clock in the morning, I've had 6 gin and tonics. It's time for some home treats, Grode.
Yeah, I've been drinking since 3 a.m. I'm ready to go. But thank God. No, because we kept each other in the business, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was a temptation I was like, what am I going to do? Nursing? You're going to be a postman? Because we thought, at one stage it was like, okay, comedy might come back, but everyone's going to be in like a Zorb ball. Remember there was talk about
them going into a ball. Stuff, keeping the audience separate, because like laughing was basically people expelling air. So nobody.
And funny, no shade, but I'm pretty sure that's where I got COVID, was at your show.
Really?
Yeah.
No. I love being part of your COVID journey.
And it was my birthday as well.
It was.
But it was the first time I'd inhaled other people's spit, basically, willingly. At a and it was packed, because your shows are packed.
Shows you had a good time. You had your mouth open.
Laughing. You know.
Laughing, yeah.
I don't think I've ever had a good time with my mouth closed. So anyway, but listen to me. It did, you both shone quite, you're baking and you and your tiny hand. But you both used online as kind of therapy, didn't you?
Totally.
Cathartically to get it out there. Well, but it worked.
I certainly felt... I can't speak for you, Grode, sadly.
But
I will. You know, I love to. That I felt, for me, I said to myself, I put a lot of work in here. I put a lot of groundwork into this career.
Yeah.
It can't just be gone now.
I know.
I need to do something. The Insta stuff was just boredom, really.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, then I went and did podcasts and stuff. But
so let's just give people context here who may not, the four people in Ireland who haven't seen you in your 90-night run across the world.
Thank you.
So you exploded, obviously, which was brilliant. You made Garrod not leave comedy. But Garrod supports you on the tour quite a lot.
Yeah.
Just tell people about that in case you don't know.
So basically, I said to Garrod, stay in comedy. And he said, no, I'm out, I'm done. And I said, stay in comedy, you can do my tour. And he went, no. And then he saw the size of the tour and he's that greedy. He went, actually, do you know what?
100%.
I'm back. I'm back in comedy, baby.
I'm not an artist, but I'm not stupid.
Yeah, exactly. So off we went. No, I'm joking, because the tours actually didn't start as large as it ended.
Yeah.
But we developed such a good relationship that I just knew whatever the tour held for either of us, we'd enjoy ourselves.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when I met Garrod, he was driving a Mini Cooper. But I was like, look, for the tour, I need someone to drive a high ace van, and it's not going to be me because, for legal reasons.
She likes to drink on the road.
For legal reasons, I'm not going to be behind the wheel of a high ace.
But I think this is interesting because I think unless people follow you on social media, and of course you both have huge followings, they won't realise it actually is down to that. You do pack up, you get in the van, off you go, the two of you. Like, you're literally on the road.
Yeah.
People have this illusion that you land on a helicopter. It's not like
that.
Oh,
no. We do everything ourselves. And what I will say about that van is, if you go from a Mini Cooper to a Transit van, you've no idea how easy it is to fall out of the window of a van when you're paying a toll.
Honest to God.
Have you fallen?
I swear
Has
to
it
God.
Happened?
Oh, listen. When have I not fallen out the window of that van?
Garrod. Oh, he's gone. He's popped out the window again. Remember when you started driving that van, I was like, oh my God, do I fancy Garrod now? It was so alpha.
That's exactly what happened.
I know. It's like, smoke out the window there. Come on.
Our agent used to tell the venues, like, because she would advance the shows and she'd be like, now, the one thing that they really do need is they need somebody to be park a van because Garrod can't park a van. And the venues will be like, ha, ha,
what,
ha.
What a rider.
Like, no, no.
Yeah, we need a man or a woman outside. Tick, tick, woo-hoo, who can park a van. So we would just get out of the venue, get the engine running, and then someone else would have to park it.
Yeah, there was one time that they didn't. Remember, it was at the Everyman in Cork, and there was nobody there to park the van. So it's just like, it's on a main road, the stage door. So it was like, just do it quickly, Garrod. You know, brazen it.
And what did you do?
I drove over the lovely box of flowers they have on the stage door.
I didn't even notice. Got out and everything was bent. I was
So that it is that simple. You've done hundreds of dates together.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. We have. I don't know the figure, to be honest, but it's in the hundreds.
Yeah. There was a period where I think there was 3 months we didn't have a night off or something.
Wow. Like that, Now, there was a sniff of burnout off the two of us, it has to be said.
We were demented.
Yeah.
But after the quiet period, you probably ran straight into that, did you? Delighted with life.
Oh, yeah. 100%. At the start, sure, when we first started, we were doing two shows a day in Vicar Street because of the 50% capacity rule.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And the curfew was 8:30 and we were backstage like trying to sign off the pub. We can't be working.
I know, it's so funny.
What does that mean?
When you're on the PUP payment.
Oh, yes, okay.
Yeah, so we had to sign off.
Oh, okay, we're in trouble there now. We moved quickly on
over. Excuse me, we did everything right. Thank you very much.
Okay, so we painted a clear picture that it's not all glamour. You know, it's hard work and you're driving the van and you're...
Not really doing much now.
The cocktails, you know. But what is it about Garrod? What's it about the relationship that works? Now, I've seen you both stand up. You're perfect together. It's a perfect lead into the two shows. You're very complimentary. You have this gorgeous way with the audience, and then you kind of throw them at Joanne. It's brilliant. Yeah. I love it. What is it about the relationship that works, that you could spend that much time with somebody?
Well, for the tour, what worked was A, we get on like a house on fire.
Yeah.
B, I think they're getting two headliners. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's opening the show, but he's also a headliner comic. So I think he makes the show stronger than it would be without him.
Yeah. He's cheered
that's
up.
Lovely.
Now.
Yeah. That's really nice.
It's really cute. But personally, it's just we just laugh and laugh and laugh. That's fair. Garrod is, and I'm not just saying this because you're sitting here.
Go on.
The funniest person I know. Well, top three, anyway.
That went down quick.
Your top three.
She said this to me before. She said, I sometimes think that you're the funniest person I know, and I've no idea why I have no respect for you. Those words have come out of her mouth.
Yeah. Like, get into the boot.
Top three. Who's the other two?
I'd have to think now. I have a friend, Nancy.
You don't even immediately know who they are.
I just know that that's a movable feast, those three.
Yeah, it depends.
I'm also wondering who else I've said that to now that I'm live on the radio. I need to back myself. Yeah,
you're only as good as your last gig, basically.
That's it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
When you look back in the last couple of years, it's you've a month off now, is that right?
Yeah.
Time off. You have any time off?
Yeah, more or less a month now.
Yeah.
Are you going to go and write your memoir?
Yeah, that's exactly me. No, I'm going to write an expose. That's
The truth on the road.
I'm going to drop bombs.
Yeah. Oh, I'd read that. Yeah. Reflect on the last couple of years. How's it been?
It's been very full on. It the best of times and the worst of times. Honestly, I think that's a really good summary of it.
Yeah.
Really full on. But how lucky are we? Like, how lucky am I? How lucky are you that we get to do it? Like, it's amazing. And you do have your pinch yourself moments.
You're just back from Montreal.
Yeah.
How was that?
They really do speak French. I thought that was like, you know, we speak Irish kind of vibe. But no, it's it's the real deal.
Yeah, they're really
French. And I went to school.
How did you not know that?
I know. Because I'm thick, Brandon. I knew they spoke French. I just didn't. I don't think about anything until it's the day of it's happening, really.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I get a bit overwhelmed. So I knew Montreal was going to be tough because I've never gigged to a French-speaking audience. Now, obviously, there's loads of English speakers there too. But so I went over, and it's the first time I've done Just for Laughs, and I've been trying to get into Just for Laughs.
That's a huge international brand.
Yeah, it's basically the launch pad for the States.
Okay.
So I've obviously been trying to crack in for a couple of years. So this was the first year that I was allowed in.
How'd it go?
It went really well, I think. So the first gig was a bit ropey. It's a long time since I've done 7 minutes, and it's 7 minute slots.
Wow, that's short for you guys, isn't
very
it?
Very
short. Yeah, God.
And in 7 minutes, you have to have a start, a middle, and an end. And get your name in. And it's just, it's a skill set that I have completely lost.
Yeah, you have it at the start of
you
comedy.
You have it at the start.
And then it's gone because you're just doing longer sets. Like
yeah, that. So it's a real American muscle. The Americans are really good at it. So I was up against people who were really strong at that.
Right.
So I had to find my way. So the first gig was ropey.
I wish I'd been there.
Yeah, you would have loved it.
It's been so long since I've seen you struggle.
You'd
I'd love it.
Oh, you'd have loved it.
Mother's milk.
I did think about you.
Sibling rivalry. Sibling rivalry.
I just stood like, back saying, so Joanne, you know you've got to do this through French.
Bonjour now. But what I learned is, because the key was slow down, because I met this Canadian after and he was like, I like your vibe, but I hadn't a clue what you were saying.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I was like, lanthemont. So very,
a producer
very
in the UK once said to me, can you be less Irish and less camp? And I was like,
what?
Book Ryan Kelly. I was like, yeah,
slow.
We do speak very quickly.
We do.
Yeah, we do. Yeah,
we do.
It's a lot of energy.
Does an audience expect that speed when you speak? You don't speak that quickly, actually, on stage. You're quite measured, I've noticed.
We think that, but then put us in a foreign country and you see them squinting. You see them kind of tilting the head.
When you go abroad, and I think even my name, like, I think is such a big barrier for
me. I've told you.
What kind of names do you get called?
Well, I brought a show to the Edinburgh Fringe a few years ago called Garrod Less Travelled. And halfway through the show, everyone was calling it Gayrod Less Travelled. And it's just like, I'm so annoyed.
Nobody likes a Gayrod Less Travelled. Yeah.
I said to him, because I'm trying to get Garrod to move to the UK, and I'm like, I want you to come to the UK, but you're going to have to call yourself Gary. There isn't an MC in the UK.
Or Jared?
Jared.
Jared's very much an accountant's name.
Gary Farrelly. I think that's a show. I think
Gary
that's a show
Farrelly.
Name. That's
Gary
a great
Farrelly.
Name.
Live on air, Gary Farrelly. Gaz Farrelly. Gaz Faz.
Gazal.
A Gaz Faz could be a movement, like a symbol. It could be something.
That's what you call your
Gary Farrelly.
Gary Farrelly.
Just to give a context, unwittingly flew to New York to see you in New York.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you did two nights. I think there was 2,500 people in that room. It was huge. And then you're in Chicago, Boston. Mm. So you've already infiltrated America.
Mm.
How hard was that? What's
well, I haven't really now. Like, let's be honest, because there wasn't. I'd say like the
that's pretty healthy audience though. Isn't
shows
it?
In the town hall. Do you know what it is? But like, I'm also wondering now. Illusions. It was the vast majority of them were Irish or British.
Yeah.
So now there were some Americans thrown in the mix, but like my solo show in Montreal was the first show. I meant to tell you this actually, where there was like two Irish in. Never happened. Like and that's kind of what you need to be working towards, really.
Sure.
As much as we love gigging to our own people, you kind of at some stage you need.
Yeah. You need to break out.
You need to. Yeah. You need to grow a bit. So
you're both off. So yeah. Because listen, I have a little surprise for you both. Oh. Before we go, what's the plan now for the rest of the summer? Because it's not winter yet. Stop saying autumn.
I'm not going to do much now, to be honest. I have a bit of writing to do. And I'm back on tour from September.
Congratulations.
So I need to, but I want to start writing the new show. I did a couple of new material gigs because I kind of answered my pants.
So you'd book a show before you've written it?
Oh, well, this will be the show for the end of 2024.
Ah, okay.
So I get antsy when I'm not gigging. So I just booked a few new material gigs just to try a few bits. And
And you, Madam?
I've done nothing of the sort. I'm going to Lisbon with the girls. Good luck.
Yeah. You're taking a break.
I'm taking a proper break.
So we've written an impromptu platonic Mr. and Mrs. Quiz. Are you ready to play?
Yes! Oh, my God.
Okay. Are you ready to play? Yeah, music, please. Can you hear that music?
Yeah, I can hear that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Garode, you go first. Who is the best at keeping secrets?
Oh, me.
I would say so, too.
100%.
You agree with that? Okay. Joanne, what's Garode's favourite food? Meal?
Oh, Garode is quite...
Three.
Cereal.
I don't let him eat on tour,
so I don't know what he eats. I was jaw wired shut from the day one, didn't I?
Garode, who's better at saving money?
Joanne.
You are? Shut up!
Excuse me, I've seen where I stayed on that tour. I've seen those hotels.
Garode's much better.
Mamie Coleman told me yesterday the reason she got back into music is because of you and your encouragement. What's his favourite song? Joanne, what's
good? Oh, he loves kind of 80s pop music.
I need a song. I need a song.
Well, we love a bit of Celine Dion. He likes something by Bananarama. Would be gross.
That's three answers.
Oh, that's actually very good.
Yeah, okay, give you a point. Done. Who wears the trousers in the relationship, Garode?
I would agree there. Yeah.
Who? Oh, this. I didn't write these, by the way. Joanne, who's the funniest?
Garode.
Oh,
I do. He is genuinely funnier than me.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah,
I'm very
also light.
Who would play Joanne in the film of her life?
Bette Midler.
Currently.
I'd actually love the work myself, to be honest.
Okay. Joanne, who's the vainest?
Oh, me for sure, yeah. Yeah. I'm always plucking at myself. Garode. And I'm always trying to get Garode to book in for a pluck, but he won't. I'm like, come on, when are you going to start the work? When is the work going to start? Yeah. It's going to be too late soon.
It's remarkable, the natural, not lateral, sitting in front of me right now.
I'll float it's like out a
before,
here.
You're like a before and after.
Tell me how she feels, and it's thanks to the miracle of science.
What's Joanne's celebrity crush?
Oh. Oh, I don't know if it's a celebrity. I'd say it's somebody in jail.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody from a true crime.
Okay. I love a crime.
I know the answer to this, Joanne. Who's the better driver?
I say I am, actually.
What?
Yeah.
No points there.
Yeah, I would.
Okay, what is Joanne's guilty pleasure?
I didn't drive the van into anything.
Joanne's guilty pleasure is...
Remember, stay time.
It's all coming back to me now by Celine Dion.
Absolutely.
True, yeah? Yes. Okay, and Joanne, who is the most attractive?
Oh, Brandon, you.
Hey! Yeah. Joanne is the winner. I don't care what went before. Joanne McNally, Garode Farrelly, always a joy, never a chore, always a pleasure. Thank you so
always
much.
Always a pleasure. We love
you. Thank you,
love
Brandon. We love you.
Let's take some ads.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
That was a manic 15 minutes of radio, wasn't it? I thoroughly enjoyed that. Thanks, Joanne and Garode. Now, a little gear shift. There's something special about a bookshop, I have to agree. All those stories and characters bound together under one roof can feel like a sanctuary to many. And Chapters Bookstore, Ireland's largest independent bookstore, has seen a huge resurgence of young readers as a result of BookTok, a community of TikTok. Sarah Phelan is the manager of Chapters. Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
You sound you have a lovely dulcet tone after those two maniacs.
Tough act to follow.
No, not at all. So, congratulations, you're a year back open.
Yes, 16 months now.
Wonderful news for all book fans. I don't spend a lot of time in bookshops, but before I went on holiday a few weeks ago, I went in and I just looked at the chart.
Yes.
And I just picked number one. And I was right. It was Mark O'Connell, A Thread of Violence.
Can't go wrong with that.
You know what? Ever since Netflix, I realised I am actually a huge true crime fan. I didn't know I was.
Who isn't these days?
Interesting. I wonder if that an Irish thing. So straight away, I read this. I was like, BookTok. What are you on about? What is BookTok?
Yeah, so BookTok, we found out kind of by chance, is this incredible sub-community within TikTok.
Right.
So everybody knows TikTok, the social media platform. BookTok is this thread within it where people love to talk about books that they're reading, not necessarily the number one, two, three in the charts. It's things that they kind of find interesting outside of that. For us, it tends to be kind of younger women and girls.
Really?
Yeah, it's a huge resurgence in that. And I think for a lot of them, they were maybe kind of their next thing would have been YA books, so young adult. But there's a funny gap, so they've kind of aged out of confident reader and younger children side of things, but they're maybe not yet ready or sure where to go with adult books. So this book talk thing kind of like bridges the gap for them.
Is that in a way highlighting a sort of maybe a gap in the market for
authors?
Yeah,
potentially. It's brilliant though because it covers so many different genres. There's romance, there's sci-fi, there's kind of the old classics that we all know about, and then there's a big kind of popularity of LGBTQI+.
Yeah.
So it's brilliant. It kind of grabs from all different genres.
Wow. So yeah. And you now put it actually up on the wall, like a chart, the book talk. When I walk in, I can physically see it.
Right inside our front door, huge section. It started off, we didn't know why there were certain popular titles had become popular. So the one that I kind of talk about was Song of Achilles by Madeline Miller.
Yeah.
It's a book that was published in 2011. So there's no other reason that would be selling kind of constantly. And I asked a customer why or where they had heard of it. And she told me Book Talk.
Wow.
Me searching frantically through my podcast app, thinking she had said book talk, looking for a podcast on that. Quickly found out what it was. We found out the few popular titles and then built a small stand, but it's grown now and it's front and center.
So I have TikTok. I don't really use it that much. I'm like my dad with the VHS in 1989. I'm like, how does this thing work? It's amazing. Yeah. I do have it because I'm curious to see what the kids are doing. And you know, it is a selling platform. It's a way to promote what you do. Yeah. How can I find Book Talk on TikTok? I just type in Book Talk.
So if you search Book Talk on your homepage, it'll come up. Yeah.
So I do follow a couple of recommenders. Would we say that book? A guy who recommends books on Instagram actually is really good. Because we do really like a good book recommendation, don't we? Because
absolutely.
I hate when you get four or five pages in and you're like, I don't like this book.
No, absolutely. And there are some incredible book talkers.
Are there?
Who?
A book talker.
Well, sorry. That's what I'm calling them.
Yeah.
But they say, if you've read this, you'll like this.
A book fluencer.
Exactly. There you go.
That wasn't me. That was Niamh. I can't take credit for that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then we
So give us the top book talker, just as if anybody's looking.
There's a huge number of them. Like some authors, like Joseph Murray, he's brilliant. Okay. He's really, really good. And then there are a huge number within the community if you just search.
What's interesting for me with this conversation is that it actually is making me think differently about TikTok.
Absolutely.
In a way.
It's not
I heard that niche was very important on it. If you're like into Fabergé eggs or origami, you'll find a niche and explain it to you.
Yeah, yeah. And we love making TikToks within the shop.
Do you?
Yeah, so we've a store by TikTok. Page is Chapters Bookstore Dublin.
Okay, how many followers have you got?
I don't know. For us, it's not about the followers or the views.
It's about the quality, not the quantity.
Yeah, and it's about staff having a bit of fun. For us, that was all about.
Okay.
We like purposely don't sell through BookTok or through TikTok. It's just kind of, you might see some behind the scenes, some of the the fun that we have, and like we obviously look at the trends and see what's trending and what's working. We look at that, but we do not focus on it. And it's just,
I think what you're doing is the way that publishing in the literary world is maybe making people look slightly differently at technology, which is
absolutely
a positive.
Yeah, and there's a huge link. So,
yesterday was a great day for Ireland.
Absolutely.
Great day for the parish.
Yes.
The Booker Prize long list announced that a third of the nominees,
four of the 13, it's incredible,
are Irish authors.
Yeah, yeah.
So just to say, Paul Murray's Beasting, Elaine Feeney's How to Build a Boat, Paul Lynch's Prophet Song, and Sebastian Barry's Old God's Time. I've read none of them.
Yeah, we're lucky. We've had three of the four in store, so hopefully Paul Lynch will stop by as soon as his book is released.
Now, of course, when it hits that list, it sells out, does it?
Absolutely, yeah. It was great to come in this morning. We have our website, and when we come in this morning and looked at all the sales overnight, it's brilliant to see people are on it straight away, ordering them. And
And do you sell a lot? I had a look at your website. It's really nice.
It's new for us.
It's great.
Well, I say new in the last year, but it's brilliant. So the new owners, Mick and Kevin, that's one of the things they really wanted to kind of get organised. It was selling online for us.
I love the chapter story. Jilly upstairs has told me. I didn't know the ins and outs of it. So just give us people a potted history of what happened to you and how you reopened.
Absolutely, yeah. It's an incredible story. Chapters is around for 39 years under a previous owner, William Kinsler. When he decided to retire, Mick and Kevin Michael Finucane and Kevin Neary, the new owners. They heard the story, and William had given them their first chance at business back when Chapters was on Middle Abbey Street. So he had given them a space to set up their games business, and they set up Games World, which became GameStop. So they were very successful in what they did and in the kind of the resale, the trade, the bring, the buy, the sell market. And then when they heard the Chapters was closing, they said, hey, we can't let this go. So we were so lucky that they took the business on. An absolutely manic 3 months after closing, we were reopened. It was like building the shelves back up from nothing. And it's been, I have to say, such a pleasure working with them since then.
It's quite emotional, isn't it?
Because it is. It's yeah, it's an incredible part of Dublin's history as
but
well.
But also that it's, that gamers saved it.
Absolutely, yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's really reassuring. Yeah. They're not locked away in a room and they don't care about anybody else. They're actually
absolutely
helping.
Absolutely, yeah. And they've only helped to improve the store and like, yeah, we're going places, definitely. So it's really exciting time to be in the business.
And they're all about it as well, because I see that you've added a new resident upstairs. Is that right?
Yes, Arboretum Urban Green. Mm-hmm. They have their sites in Carlow and Wicklow.
Yeah.
And then this was, they saw the opportunity to do something in Dublin, and it's incredible. So they've got a gorgeous coffee shop and house plants and everything you could want for city living,
yep,
which is brilliant. I know my apartment is full of plants and it's brilliant to have them there, and it works so well with Chapters and also with Parnell Street. It's brilliant. Yeah. It helps to add a bit more life and love into the street.
I actually think Parnell Street would be empty without you. I really do, because I walk by there all the time.
Yeah.
So you have also a sustainable side to your business, which I think is worth saying as
absolutely,
well.
Absolutely, yeah.
So it's between TikTok and the gamers and sustainability, and Chapters, you've moved to the future.
Yeah, so secondhand books is a huge part of our business. Really, really big. And it's kind of what we've developed and we've focused on over the years. So all of our secondhand stock comes from people trading it into us
yeah,
so they can get store credit and buy books again. So it creates this life cycle and it continues the life of a book. It doesn't just gather dust on a shelf.
Wonderful.
It's brilliant, yeah. And then we also do it for kind of new releases, which are maybe the slightly more expensive end of the scale. You can trade those back in and you get a good deal on the trade-in. So you
wonderful
see the people, they come in a couple of times a week and they're just constant rotation of books.
So just before I let you go, bestsellers at the moment?
Oh, I mean, all the normal, the regular ones, and you'll obviously see the booker list and things. Some that I would pick.
Yeah.
I've gone kind of Irish authors, I guess, based on us being an independent Irish store. Andrea Mara, No One Saw a Thing, an absolute page turner. And
are you a big reader?
Yes.
Just say yes.
Yes, yes.
You manage Chapters.
I'm too busy. Yes, no, I am, absolutely. Andrea Mara, No One Saw a Thing, Caroline O'Donoghue, Rachel Instant. It's brilliant. It's fun. It's amazing. Anne Griffin, The Island of Longing. I absolutely loved it. Shed a tear at the beginning, shed a tear at the end. Loved it. Can't obviously go without mentioning, I was lucky enough to get an advanced copy of Aisling Ever After, which is out at the end of this month.
Amazing.
And, oh my God, I absolutely loved it.
Really?
So, yeah. Aisling Ever After. Read it in a day and a half.
Well, Sarah Phelan, long may Chapters reign into the future with technology and gaming and everything else. And thanks for all the hips and tints, and good luck to you and enjoy the rest of the summer.
Thank you so much for having
me. Thank you so much. Let's take some ads. Oh, happy Wednesday. That was Paradise by the very talented Irish man James Vincent McMurrow. And speaking of Paradise, some great news for Ackle's stunning Keane Beach in County Mayo. It's made it onto the top 50 beaches in the world again. It peaked at the third most beautiful beach on the Condé Nast list of best beaches in 2020. And it made it onto number 11 of this actual list we're talking about, which is called the Big Seven Travels Annual List of the 50 Best Beaches in the World. And it was number 11 in 2019. It's hanging in there at number 48. And Sean Malloy from What's On in Ackle is on the line to tell us more. Hi, Sean. How are you?
Hi, Brendan. How are you doing?
It's quite a good thing to be on that list, right?
Oh, it's a great thing. Do you know what? We're getting fairly used to these lists now. As you said, it's been on Condé Nast. It's been on that list for a while. And Lonely Planet had us in the top 20 beaches in Europe as well. So it's every few months we get one of these lists now, and it's great to be there.
So it's kind of old news to you.
it's never old news.
Yeah, because you want to stay there, right?
It's always welcome.
You want to stay there for sure, because I mean it's so beautiful. I did the Ackle Run this year, last year, and we finished the run and we run down to Keane Beach and we run into the sea, and you're so lucky. It's such a magical place. Just tell me this: do you know how you made it onto the list in the first place?
I'm not too sure, really. I used to work with Ackle Tourism, and we used to kind of track down these lists and see who was writing for them and send lots of items to the to the authors and especially with Condé Nast and I had Paula Keneally mithered about getting into the Irish Independent list, and we're actually currently the Reader's Choice number one on the Irish Independent Travel Awards as well. It takes a little bit of everything, I think.
Well, it's up there, my number one. In fact, I actually, I took a picture on social media of my dog chasing a ball, and I caught her flying through the air, and it actually looked like the Caribbean, so much so that a tourist authority asked could they use the picture on their social media. It was on Keem Beach. So tell me this, what does it mean to a place like Achill to have your Keem Bay or beach? Is it bay or beach, by the way? We were talking about that upstairs.
There's a beach there, but we also talk about the bay, because is very famous as well because of the sharks and the dolphins and the wildlife that's there. So it's kind of the whole area, really, and the valley. There's lots of Captain Boycott, the infamous Captain Boycott.
Go on.
He had a farm there in the mid 19th century. So it's Keem Bay, beach and valley, the whole lot.
Oh, I didn't know that. There you go. But it means a lot to you guys, doesn't it? Because it sort of raises your profile. But you've had your profile raised pretty high in the last 2 years, really, haven't you?
Yeah, I suppose with the banshees coming in there as well. You know, it was quite nice to be looking at images of Keem Bay and on the Atlantic Drive every few minutes when the Oscars were being shown to a worldwide audience. But from a local point of view, it gives us all great pride in that an area just on our doorstep is up there with the very best in the world.
It's wonderful. We ran down to the beach after the run, and there's the building on the beach there, and that's the burning house at the end of the movie, isn't it? At the end of the Banshees.
Yeah, that was right. That building there was actually originally a hut for the shark fishermen.
Was it?
In the 1950s, the one of the biggest industries in Achill at the time was the basking shark fishing industry, where they used to hunt the sharks for their oil. It was a very valuable commodity. So at one stage there was 1,700 sharks a year fished there, so it was a very big industry. But thankfully they're protected now, and Keem Bay is probably one of the best places in all of Europe to go and watch them if you're there in April or May. They're an absolutely fantastic sight to see when you see an animal that's 30, maybe 35 feet in length.
Wow.
Just swimming just right down below you. It's an amazing sight.
Yeah, because there are great views from the cliff edge as you walk along, aren't there?
Yeah, and in some parts of it, if you go down near the village of Dua, there's a place there where the Aira sign is. Sometimes they're over there, and you can feel like you can almost touch them, because you're almost level with them, and they're only maybe 15 or 20 feet off the shore. It's an amazing sight.
Has the movie made much of a difference to tourism in the area?
Yeah, I think it definitely made a bit of a difference around the time when the Oscars were out and late last year. And right up until June, most people would say that the tourism numbers were up. But with July, with all the rain and everything, I think people have been a bit disappointed this year. It's been it's been a little bit down. But you know, August is here now, so hopefully it'll come back again. But I know, talking to one restaurateur there just a few days ago, he was kind of amazed by the uptake of number of American tourists. He said it's way up, and he said they're coming because of the banshees in the Sheeran.
Very good. So is this the same beach that disappears? What's
no,
this?
The beach that disappeared is Dua Beach, which is...
It's so romantic. Tell me that story now. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, basically what happened there was in the mid-80s, about 1984, there was one of the big storms, and the beach just got washed away literally overnight. And then over the years, there was a little bit of sand. But in 2017, after a prolonged north wind, a very cold north wind, a cold spell that lasted about 2 weeks, it brought back all the sand.
Wow.
And the sand was about maybe 300, 350 metres long. It turned into a beautiful golden coloured beach again. But it didn't last very long with that, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
The next winter came and took two-thirds of it away again.
Oh, no. So it's called Dua Beach, but do you call it the Disappeared Beach, do you?
Sorry?
Is it known as the beach that disappeared there, yes?
Yeah, it's known as the beach, yeah. Dua Beach, as we call it, yeah. It's known as the beach that disappeared. And we just did a few video drone footage of it, and it went viral, and it was all over the world. We couldn't believe it. Like, there was TV crews from the UK, from France, Germany, Holland, all came, and it was on Good Morning America.
Was it?
It was all over the world.
So where can I see that? Can I see that on your Facebook, on What's On in Achill, is it?
Yeah, there's some, if you maybe search on there, yeah, there's lots of links to it back there in the time, especially the BBC, because we got the BBC gave us the links back again, and they're on there, yeah. So it's quite an amazing story, really.
You live in a really beautiful part of the world. I'm sure you're very aware of that. How do you get yourself back up the list? You're 48. Will there be efforts to get us back up to number 3? I know on Condé Nast you're right up there, but on this particular list...
Well, you know, I suppose it's surrounded in secrecy exactly how it's there.
Of course.
But I think, you know, as long as people keep posting about it and showing some of those beautiful images, and there's never two pictures that are the same as Kin Bay, because the water keeps changing colour.
It's beautiful.
You know, it's a beautiful colour. As you said there, it looks like the Caribbean. A lot of people think it looks like some of the Greek islands or in the Aegean.
Yes.
So as long as people keep sharing beautiful pictures like that, I'm sure it'll be picked up, and we'll stay on that list. And
for sure.
Hopefully we'll climb up a bit further on it.
Well, Ackle gets my vote and Kim Beat gets my vote 100%. Sean Malloy from What's On Ackle, thank you so much. Anish, Tosha and Am de Prief Scalton and Nuakta le Kati Wallish. Gormila Maha good coach. Okay, it's now time for our Who Done It quiz. And some lucky listener is going to win a 2-night stay in the Ainua Collection's Dublin One Hotel. They're going to win, as I said, 2 nights in the city centre with breakfast each morning and dinner one evening in the vibrant botanical restaurant. Dublin One Hotel is a stylish, central and good value base located on the North Circular Road, know it well, for exploring all Dublin City Centre has to offer. You'll be close to all the main shopping districts, entertainment venues and so much more. You can even see me walking my dog. For all their great summer offers, go to dublinonehotel.com. Now, we have 2 contestants on the line ready to play. Noreen O'Sullivan in Cork. Hi, Noreen, are you there?
I am, Brendan, hello.
Now, Noreen, are you okay? I'm just checking.
I am okay.
What happened when the phone rang?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, it was funny. I went out in the yard with Elvis the dog, my little dog, you know.
Elvis!
And I was over...
Send me a picture. I love him already. Go on.
Yeah, he's adorable. Bit of a dope, like, but he's adorable. Anyway, I was over in the dairy and the phone rang and it was in my back pocket. I pulled it out and the whole bloody thing fell on the ground and it just went into 3 pieces.
Oh.
And I just picked it up,
sorry,
put it back together again, turned it on, and then within probably three minutes, Emily rang me.
Oh,
so
well.
Here I am.
Well, karma is on your side, if nothing else, so I wish you the best of luck. I'm so sorry about
Thank
that.
Thank you very much.
So you're good at quizzes?
Oh, it depends on the decade. I'm very good at the 80s music, for example, 90s as well. 60s and 70s, pretty good too, but... From 2010 to now, I, you know,
Same.
Know all the well-known artists, but I don't know.
Same.
I'm not a big fan of rappers, so I'm not really keen on rapping.
Well, I think isn't it your teenage years? You probably know every single lyric to every song that ever charted between the ages of 12 and 18, would you say?
Every single one. And I'm a singer. I love singing. And I did, yeah, I learned all the lyrics. And I'm still trying to get over the sadness of Sinead dying last week.
Oh.
I daughter, and I just feel so sad.
Yeah,
her, you know,
we, the whole nation is mourning, I think you're right. Now, speaking of Elvis, are you a fan of Elvis?
No, well, I mean, I adored Elvis as a man, as a person. I just thought he had the saddest life ever. I thought he was the most beautiful looking man I ever saw in my life, you know, when I saw him first, when he was in the army
as well.
And, you know, and then his daughter dying there a few years ago, even last year. Oh my God! So I'm a great admirer of his voice, his kindness, and his emotion, and you know, he just, you know, fame is a terrible, terrible beast. So I think it just ate him up.
It did. Now, where's home? Home is County Cork. Where?
Yeah, it's a townland called Shanagrag, Carrigaline, County Cork, but we're in Ballinhassig, Ballygarvan Parish.
Lovely, lovely.
But we went to school and walked 3 miles to school in Carrigaline.
You're just brilliant, Noreen. I'm mad about you already. And you live on a farm. I could talk to you all day, Noreen. You're living on a farm.
Yes, I do. I came home from Australia in 2006. To kind of take over the housekeeping duties because my brother wanted someone to come home and basically be a cook and a cleaner and a housekeeper and a cow milker. So I was milking cows, I was bringing in straw, I was, you know, doing the housework, cooking.
Yeah.
And my mother was at the time around maybe, I don't know, maybe 80s.
Yes.
And she was still driving. And anyway, to cut a long story short, she kept driving until she was about 94.
Did she? Wow.
And never had any illness of any description, you know, no blood pressure, no diabetes, no back pain, no, you know, the usual stuff that all of us know, and myself included, when we get older, we get all these problems. But anyway, she died at 101 2 years
wow.
ago.
Wow. Oh,
yeah, so
wow.
she went to
I'm
room
sorry.
101, Brendan.
I'm sorry to hear that. That's, what a story.
Oh, no, don't be sorry. She yeah. had a wonderful long life, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It was a celebration rather than a mourning, because when you look at people at 16, you know, 30, 40, and they're dying,
that's it.
Suddenly... Yeah.
You have a lovely attitude, Noreen. You have a lovely attitude. I wish you loads of luck today. Okay.
Thank you very much, Brendan.
New Ross in Wexford. Colin, I can hear you giggling away in the background now. How are you feeling?
And put it this way, I don't have the knowledge of music that Noreen has.
Well, I'm looking at the wall here. You'll be all right, don't worry. So you're in New Ross, Colin, is that right?
Yeah, just outside of New Ross, yeah. Correct,
and
yeah.
Were you working today?
I was indeed, yeah. I was working in Dublin, yeah. Arrived home there about 15 minutes ago, yeah.
Okay. So you just got in the door, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Who are you in New Ross with?
With my wife and three kids. And
you better say their names.
They're all Hannah, Billy and Beth and my wife, Mary.
Okay, very good, very good. And are you prepping dinner or how's that going to work out now?
No, my wife has it all done. She has salmon for dinner.
I'm having salmon for dinner. How's she cooking
it? There you go.
Yeah. Any tips?
And then,
how does she cook it? Does she do darns or does she fry it or does she grill it? What does she do?
Air fryer.
I don't have one of them. You're so hipster.
They're so handy.
Are they great? This program is taking a huge turn. This has gone all day time now all of a sudden. So I see that Hannah, your eldest daughter, is playing GAA football final this evening.
Yeah.
So you have to wish her luck.
Oh yeah, best of luck for Hannah. And my son Billy, he's playing a match too, and my little girl, she's training, so we have a busy night ahead of us.
Oh, you do? Okay. So we better press on and get on with this.
Anna's spilling rain, which doesn't help either.
What's that? Sorry, repeat the last bit.
Anna's spilling rain.
Oh,
rain
is it still raining? Yes, I have. We're down in the dungeons here. We don't see the weather, I'm afraid. Or I'm not afraid. That's why we played. That's why we played Club Tropicana, to delude ourselves. And so you're all out tonight on pitches and running and all that kind of stuff in the rain.
Exactly, yeah. Correct, yeah.
Yeah, you don't get... I'm not going to lie. I went for a run in the rain this morning with the dog. She'd never forgive me. So I did it on it and I was delighted with myself. So you'd be thrilled with yourself.
Mind.
Okay, so Noreen and Colin.
Yeah. Yes.
So just to remind you how it works. There's three categories. I ask you a question each. It could be sport, music, TV, books, politics. If you go with a clue, you get 1 point. If you go without a clue, you stand to get 2 points. Is that okay?
Okay. Yeah,
yes,
that's okay.
Fine, thank you.
Are you ready to play?
Yes, we are.
Best of luck, Noreen.
And you too, Colin. Bye. yes, good luck.
I always love that bit on this show. It's so polite. But do you really mean it? Anyway, category...
I do.
Yeah, of course. Okay, let's go. Category one. Okay, Noreen, you're first. The first category is rock bands. Rock bands, okay?
Oh, definitely no clue.
definitely no clue. So,
no.
We're looking for you to name this band, okay? So,
okay.
For
yep.
no clue and 2 points, who's this band? I'm on the highway
to hell.
Oh, I wanted to hear it, Noreen. You're too good.
I know, I love them.
Oh, do you love... Oh, if you close our eyes, it could be 1989. Okay, well done.
Exactly.
Noreen, well done. 2 points. Okay.
Okay.
Colin, same category, rock bands. You get 1 point with a clue or 2 points for no clue?
No clue. I'll try no clue as well.
Okay. We're looking for you to name this band with no clue for 2 points. Hit it!
Guns N' Roses.
Yes!
Yes.
No, well,
Noreen, you are so nice. Noreen went, yay!
I was just not
Noreen,
one.
You get how this works, right? There's a winner. Okay. It's all very positive vibes today. The rain's not going to rain on our parade, is it? Okay.
No.
Noreen, category two. Animated movies.
Okay.
So we're going to be looking for you to name the actor who voiced in this animated movie. We're going to play a clip of an actor and you're going to have to name the actor's voice. Would you like a clue for 1 point or no points? No clue, 2 points.
I'm going to risk it and take no clue again.
Okay, so remember, we're looking for you to name this actor. And
the actor.
Is this actor.
Not the character, no.
Not the character. The actor who is speaking in this animated movie. For 2 points with no clue, let's hear it.
Wow! Does it feel good to be out of there? I'm telling you, nice to be back, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, I know exactly who this is.
Can we call you Al? Or maybe just Jim? Or how about Lottie?
Yo, I think I do anyway. Is it Robbie Williams?
Give me some Tassel.
Say that again.
I think I'm wrong, actually. Is it Robbie Williams?
Say it again. Sorry, I can't hear you. Just one more time, just there.
Robin Williams?
It is Robin Williams. Yes, it is, yeah. 2 points. Well done.
Oh, it is. Yes. Oh, good. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Which movie was that, Brendan?
Thanks for asking. I was just about to tell you. He was playing Genie in Aladdin.
Of course, I saw it. So I recognised it, yeah, a long time ago I saw it.
And the clue, as a matter of it, the clue was he also played a children's nanny. I don't know, would that have helped?
Oh, Mrs. Yeah. Doubtfire. Yeah,
Colin, you made me laugh there. You went, oh, no. Colin gets it's a competition, Noreen. It's a competition.
Neck and neck.
Neck and neck. Well, you've got four, Colin's got two, but he still has the second category to go. Again, Colin, animated movies. Again, we're looking for you to name the actor speaking in this animated movie. You want a clue?
No, thanks.
So, 2 points with no clue. Tell me, who is this actor?
Wait. What about the gold mine and the cute little critters and the dynamite? That was a great show. I mean, why cancel it? I mean, look at all this stuff. Oh, I wish the guys could see this. Hey, howdy, hey, that's me. I'm on a yo-yo.
Colin, who is that?
Would it be Tom Hanks?
Yes, it was. It was Tom Hanks as Woody in Toy Story.
I didn't know that. No, actually. Yeah.
Well, look, it was your question then. The clue was famous for being stuck on a desert island. Would that have helped?
Oh, yeah. No. No, definitely not.
Okay, it's four all. Four all. Okay.
Great.
Noreen, your next category, last category, Irish sports stars.
Oh, God.
How is your knowledge on Irish sports stars? If it's good, you won't need a clue. And if...
Okay.
If it's good, you won't need a clue.
See, it won't make any difference to me if you give me a clue or not. I either know it or I won't, so I'm going to go for no clue.
No clue. I love your guts. No clue. 2 points. Noreen, can you tell me, who is this Irish sports star?
Well, I think it's definitely a challenge for coaches to keep, you know, the girls in sport. They have, I suppose, a lot of friends doing lots of other different things. You know, it takes a bit of an effort to say, no, I can't go out, I'm going training. It doesn't have to be your whole life, you know, it can be balanced.
I think that's Sonia O'Sullivan, isn't
it? Yes! Colin, I'm just loving your reaction. Oh, God, oh, damn it.
I was thinking she surely get that
name to do with my own, so I know her, yeah.
Oh,
thank you.
Okay. Well done, 6 points. Brave as all get out. You know, that's really impressive. Now, moving on. Your last category, Irish sports stars. Colin, how are you on Irish sports stars?
I'll let you know in 30 seconds.
If you go for a clue, obviously you just get 1 point. And then Noreen's won, so I don't know if you have a choice.
No, walk away with the no clue there.
You're going to go for no clue for 2 points.
Yes, please.
Oh, I'm very nervous for you now. Can you tell me who this Irish sports star is?
I could envision myself and Torres playing together. In my head, I thought this would definitely work. Just put that jersey on with the players that wore it before me. I mean, that was great. I certainly don't regret it. Would I like to stay longer? Absolutely.
Robbie Keane.
Yes!
Yeah! God, wow. I didn't know that either. Did not know that.
Wow, okay. So, we asked you... So, just to recap, you're both brilliant. You both got everything right without clues. You both got 6 all. So no matter what happens now, it is a game of chance because you both got everything right. So you should take that into your football match or your run tonight or feeding Elvis and feel proud of yourself. But there will only be one winner.
Okay.
We asked you off air a tiebreak question.
Yeah.
Remember? Okay. So the question was, according to Google Maps, how long would it take for you to walk from Tubble Clare, County Westmeath, to Tubbercurry, County Sligo? Can you remember what you answered, Noreen?
Yes, I answered 33 hours.
To walk, according to Google Maps, from Tubble Clare, County Westmeath, to Tubble Clare, County Sligo. Colin, can you remember what you answered?
I said 40.
Okay. So, the distance is 103.5 kilometres via the OR392, in case you're feeling like doing it tonight, just to let you know. And just to recap there, Noreen, you said 33 hours and Colin, you said 40 hours. The actual answer is... I'm quite good at this, haven't I? Yeah. 21 hours and 1 minute. Aww. Congratulations, Noreen. You're today's winner.
Oh, my God.
Congratulations, Noreen.
Gee, Colin, I'm so sorry. I really am thrilled to win that.
You're fine. Well done.
Oh my God, I love Ireland. I love this country. Noreen O'Sullivan from Cork, you're today's winner. Colin Kearney, we'll send you a Ray Darcy Keep Cup if you can contain yourself with that. But thank you. You played a brilliant game.
Thank you.
Any other day it would have been yours, Colin. Well done, you. Thanks so much.
Right, no matter.
How are you feeling, Noreen? Are you happy?
Oh, very happy, Brendan. I can't say thank you enough. Oh, that's wonderful.
That's your wonderful, lovely two night break in the Dublin One Hotel, the North Circular Road. You're going to have a great. Who will you bring with you?
I have. Probably first instinct would be I've been attending a Hungarian lady who's a masseur for about 8 years. And
Noreen, I want to hang out with you. End of. Just meet me.
I'd love to see you when I come to Dublin to the hotel. So
anytime.
I definitely would love that.
Find me on Instagram, Noreen. You're a legend. Thank you so much. Enjoy the prize.
Thank you, Brendan.
Thank you. After the break, relationship advice with Ray and Alison.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, friends of the show, our relationship experts are back. Alison Keating, psychologist, and psychoanalyst Ray O'Neill are with me in the studio. Hi, how are you?
Hey, Brendan.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
They're with me now to answer all relationship queries and relationships and questions on relationships. As always, if you have a problem that you'd like advice on, just email us ray@rte.ie and we will put it to the lads. I have one here that I'm not going to say I relate to that much, but I kind of do relate to it. I didn't write it, but it's an interesting one. And I've heard friends say things like this. It's subject matter, moody husband, and I'm going to read it, okay? I don't know if this is worthy of your counsellors, but it's something that is beginning to grind me down. My husband is turning into a right grump. He's so moody in the mornings, so I originally put it down to being tired, but now it started to bleed into the evenings where he's also tired and moody. I've asked him not to snap back when I comment on anything. I usually get a grunt or a smart remark from him, and sometimes in front of kids, I don't know about this now, but anyway, he's also started to keep scorecards when it comes to household chores and brings it up out of the blue if I so much as ask him to tone it down. I don't know what's up with him. He likes his job. He gets plenty of downtime, including going off with his cycle club wherever he fancies. I would love some advice because no matter how bright and cheery I am being to overcompensate for him, there are only so many fake smiles I can muster up. Now...
Gosh.
Over to you, experts. I mean, I know what I'd say.
What would you say? I want to hear.
No, you don't want to hear.
Right? We do.
I would say, no, I would never. That sounds hard.
It is.
That sounds tricky.
Yeah.
He sounds annoying.
Well, do you know what the first thing I thought was, I don't know if this is worthy of your counsellors.
I know.
And I...
Low self-esteem.
I know, but so many people feel like this. And at the end of the day, she's, you know, living in a home with her children, with her husband. So this is a huge impact on her everyday life. I mean, you know, our emotions, they're contagious. So whatever mood he's in, it trickles down and everyone feels that tension. And that's really tough going.
I'm going to hold you on that. Hmm. I only heard that recently, that if somebody is depressed or grumpy, or it is contagious.
Yeah.
And that's a really interesting way to look at your moods. You're affecting everybody in the house.
Yeah.
And I wonder, I wasn't aware of that until very recently and someone mentioned that and I read a little about it. Is he displaying a lack of awareness maybe?
I think he is. Like, one of the things that we talk about, we're all familiar with the idea of burnout, and we talk about burnout in relationships, we talk about burnout in careers, but it's also a thing called rust out. And rust out is this...
I'm writing that down.
It's a slow, corrosive erosion that can happen in systems, happen in workplaces, and happen in relationships.
Yes.
Where somebody just very slowly becomes corrosive themselves, but that corrosiveness spreads across to other people.
So can I ask you, do you think this sounds like that has happened to him, that he's unaware?
I think that he's unaware. And like, either he is being kind of mean and cruel, in which case call him out on that. But I think, again, rather than having a fake smile, just go to him with your hands up and just say, where are you? and what's happening us.
Now, just to be devil's advocate, are we making excuses for this behaviour in a way by saying he's rusted out and he's unaware, we have to point it out to him? But what?
Like, we don't know. Like Ray's saying, I would say, why the fake smiles? I'd stop them. And I would go straight to him and say, hey, this is not okay. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but you're snapping at me. Are you angry with me? Because he sounds angry.
Yeah.
Okay. Does he really between the lines?
He sounds angry with her. I mean, like the scorecard. I'm actually intrigued. Is the scorecard like written down?
The scorecard stopped me in my tracks. I'm not going to lie. That would be a line in the sand for me.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. It's like husband one, relationship nil.
Yeah.
But people do keep scorecards on household chores. in their heads, they do. They're like, well, I did this and I did, like, you know, in families.
Oh, we're just triggering something. I have a theory. It's like the person who controls the toilet brush is the person who's in control of the house in a way. So the person who does most of the menial jobs or is observing of them is maybe controlling a little bit in a way. Not just that they're doing the jobs, but are they actually controlling the house? Is that out
well,
there?
Well, I would love if that brush was shared, to be quite honest. But I mean, I just think that this lady has to go and be very straight with him.
Absolutely.
And say it's having a major impact. Whether you're aware or not, it's something that I'm finding very difficult and I'm wondering what's going on. Then you can go in and say, are you okay? Is there something going on that I'm unaware of? Because there does seem to be friction between them in the relationship.
And perhaps a more open-ended way. It's just like, you know, are you happy? Going in and, Joe, are you happy? Because sometimes people are surprised by that question, but it really lands somewhere. But this is corrosive. It is eroding this, not only what's happening for this fella, but eroding this poor woman to the point where she's kind of wondering if it's worthy of our time. Of course it is. So many couples go to this ugly place.
Really, this is common.
Yes.
Oh, very common. And then it's impacting the kids as well, because he's showing her that he's been very disrespectful to her, how he's speaking to her. And then the kids are sitting there and they're absorbing this. So even consciously or unconsciously, they're like, oh, this is how you talk in relationships. So, this is a big deal, but one that you can come back from it. Just start with conversation.
So if we break it down, she's saying, is it worthy? Is her problem worthy to talk to counsellors? So that would indicate low self-esteem, or she doesn't feel it's a big enough problem, which is kind of tragic in its own way, but she knows it's worthy enough to write.
Yeah.
But the moodiness thing, how do you tackle moodiness or grumpiness? And people are often unaware of it, right? In a relationship, how do you point it? Because it can flick into a row. That's the problem, you see. How do you go about that?
And that's all you can do is just, unfortunately, have to risk the row. And sometimes you have to grab the bull by the horns. But
really,
it's just,
you would say just risk
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. And just say, you almost say, look, I'm going to risk here. I don't want to have a row. But I'm not sure if you're aware of just how much this kind of energy fills the room and fills our relationship.
Great. And your tone is going to set how that conversation will go. So if you go in kind of a bit warm and saying, like, there is a level of concern, you're trying to connect back in, then it doesn't necessarily have to go to an argument. But if it does, that's okay. And you can say, hey, look, this is getting too heated now. Let's take a break and come back to it. But this is an important conversation we need to have.
So it's a hard conversation that needs to be happening. I mean, but the scorecard thing, I mean, woo! That would be a complete red flag to me. Okay, well, we move on. I want to bail out of being a bridesmaid. I mean, I know some people who see wedding invites as taxes, right? It's like a penalty coming through the door. Shall I read it?
Yes.
Yeah.
How can I tell my best friend that I don't want to be her bridesmaid? Oh, she asked me last year and I happily agreed, thinking that it would be an easy job. Oh, I had one of these. But she's turned into somewhat of a control freak when it comes to the planning and is expecting way too much from me. The wedding is not until October, but so far she's required me at every single dress shop, helping her choose her outfit and mine, which has taken up a lot of my weekends, which is time I just don't have. She set up a WhatsApp group about the hen and what she'd like and aspects and expects me to plan the whole thing. And that WhatsApp group is just pinging minute by minute. They're little like digs in the back of the head, those WhatsApp groups, aren't they? I think I'm going to just disappoint her no matter what I do. So am I going to bow out now? Is there any advice you can offer on how I can do this gently and still retain our friendship? I'm over to you.
Look, we were talking about this one outside because it's just, you know, there's a reason why we talk about the Bridezilla trope. There is probably no way to do this gently, but honesty done sooner is better than lies done later.
Yes. Yes. What do you think?
I want to throw a little spanner in. And
oh, go on.
She said she wants to bow out, right? But, I mean, this could be a friendship deal breaker, yeah, for sure. Okay, so we're going to take gentleness and we're flinging it out the door, right?
So this is so important to the bride that this could terminate their friendship. If
100%.
So.
And I think going to the friend and saying, look, can we have a conversation? I'm not sure I realised, you know, how much was involved in this. Now, I'm wondering, are there other bridesmaids that could also help,
yeah,
with the planning of the hen? Because it is a big deal. I'm wondering if they could, like, say, look, you know, tell me about your hopes and dreams for this wedding. And then say, there's sometimes it won't suit me to go. How do you feel about that? And just be totally honest about it. Now, I'm telling you, this may not work out well.
Yeah.
But for the sake of the friendship, like Ray saying, definitely go in honest. But there's a massive risk here.
And unfortunately, in our Barbie patriarchal world of weddings, unfortunately, the wedding is the be all and end all for too many women. And it's just like, there are other things that are going to happen in your life besides your wedding. So just, I don't know what can happen to this person, but for any other listeners, do not commit to being a bridesmaid until you know what that commitment involves.
But you don't know.
So have that conversation.
And people's personality does change. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because if they're not used to organising big events like a wedding, it can be a lot of pressure and they can react in different ways, right?
I think it just brings up a huge amount of you know, childhood dreams for people. And people can lose the run themselves. So it's a conversation to have. And like, I don't know, just bowing out without any explanation, I think the friendship's going to end anyway because you're going to be annoyed at her. And she's going to be annoyed at you. So have the honest conversation.
So maybe just don't rip the plaster off. Pull it back a little bit. See how that goes.
Yeah.
But it does sound to me, when somebody gets the bridezilla mentality, it's only going to go one way, is it?
Well, I don't know. Like, let's have some hope for friendships.
Let's have hope for friendships. After I said, that's the end of your friendship. Let's have some hope.
Try.
Thank you so much as always, Ray and Alison. We'll see you again very soon on the show. Thanks to the team who put the show together today. Alison Grufferty was on sound. Cormac O'Hara is on his way now, of course, with Drive Time. And I'll be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Thank you. See you then.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.